You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
It's once again time for our Executive Lounge feature on a Wednesday, where we speak to leading executives in and around the country and the world, whoever we can get in touch with and get hold of and get a better sense of who they are when they're not running all these important organizations. This week's executive has taken the time and the effort to come join me in studio. The executive in question is the CEO of the Ikusasa Student Financial Aid Program Foundation, Varna Abrams. Good evening, Varna. Thanks so much for coming through to studio. What is Ikusasa? Let's start there. Let's understand, obviously it's a financial aid program, but what is it and how is it different from what we traditionally know as NSFIS?
Okay. Good afternoon, Jimmy. Thanks for having me. And also, it was a pleasure coming through. So Ikusasa literally means the future in Zulu. So Ikusasa Student Financial Aid Program, we really basically cater for the missing middle income band of students. And that means your household income is between 350,000 and 600,000. What also distinguishes us from NSFAS, so NSFAS, they cater for a household income up to 350,000, but they obviously only provide tuition, accommodation, and then allowances for meals, etc. So what differs, what separates the Ikusasa Student Financial Aid Program, and I'm going to call it ISFAP after this, is that we also provide not only a monetary value in terms of a student's education, but we also provide wraparound support. So that means where students can then get academic support, be it tutoring or support with regards to their personal circumstances or whatever they're going through, as well as psychological support or report writing. So really, by the time you are an ISFAP graduate, you are a well-rounded individual with emotional intelligence and thus adding to our economy as a whole.
I remember when I was studying at varsity and we were having these conversations around the missing middle, and there was no one that kind of really catered to that. It's nice to see that an organization has found that space to actually service students and to actually make the lives of South Africans a little bit better. When we look at just what you do as ISFAP, what NSFIS does and all of that, I want to look at the importance of your roles in the educational landscape. I mean, surely it's critical to have these things in place because we've seen that we don't have enough people that can afford to go for tertiary and higher education, and that's kind of where you come in.
Yeah, exactly. So, like I said, our role is also to not only provide financial aid, but to develop the individual as well when while they're busy studying. So our role and what we do and what separates us from NSFAS is that well-rounded individual that comes into the workplace, immediately makes an impact in terms of the support that they've been given through varsity, i.e. they're maturing throughout the university life cycle, coming into the workplace, and also it's important for the country because now they're adding to our tax base. So as you know, within the country there's a lot of unemployment, there's a lot of citizens using financial support in terms of whatever government gives in terms of allowances or SASSA, whatever support they get from government. So the more graduates we actually get through the system in terms of the throughput rates at the university and them actually adding value to organizations when they graduate and then adding to our tax base, and that adds to Treasury's coffers again, and Treasury's coffers also gets allocated to NSFAS. So I see as an important partner together with NSFAS, they supplying the 350,000 household income band, and we between 350 and 600,000, as well as in that kind of full circle coming back as a student then graduates, adding to the tax base, and then Treasury has more budget to then spend on higher education. So I think that's an important factor in that sense.
Varna, how does a chartered accountant get into education? Was it always a thing you wanted to do? How did that happen?
Yeah. So growing up, both my parents were teachers. As well as I had an uncle who was a dean at Fort Hare University, another uncle was a subject advisor at Western Cape Education Department. So our Sundays was really always family gatherings, and at that family gatherings, having tea and cake, there was always discussion around education. Sometimes debates around whatever new curriculum was instituted at the time. Thus growing up, those were the kind of conversations I heard. I also saw, obviously, the enormous joy that those like aunts or uncles or parents at the time derived from, you know, educating and the students or the learners that they were talking about, that they were teaching, and how they then after they matriculated always came back to the school and say, teacher, I'm not doing this, you were always a great help, stuff like that. So that always inspired me. So when the call came just after I qualified as a chartered accountant, about 2 years in, I was at Nedbank at the time, and then the call came from a family friend, actually, who said there was a college back in Cape Town, West Coast TVET College. They were looking for a financial manager at the time, and I went for the interview, and then it just all came natural. In terms of when I went for the interview, I immediately grasped the concepts. I understood the higher education landscape, obviously being a student myself also before that. So that primary school, listening to the adult conversations at the family table, that really probably embedded something in me. So by the time that call came and I went for the interview, it was just a natural fit. And then I've been in higher education ever since.
What inspires you now? What keeps you in higher education and keeps you sort of grounded to say, my work's not done here?
Yeah. So I think what really inspires me, and I think it really hit home before COVID and during COVID, is just seeing whatever you do to improve efficiencies and enhance a student's, basically a student's journey while they are at university. So for instance, when I was at Stellenbosch University just before COVID, I met with the guys at SnapScan. So they were actually students at the university, and they developed SnapScan in their residence room. And then had a conversation with them, and we then were the first university to then kind of make use of the SnapScan platform, where students, not only could they pay tuition, but they could also, from the luxury of their residence room or their stay at home, wherever, they could buy meal allowances, they could buy washing quota, printing quota, etc. And then what happened? COVID did. And then, because the experience of students was, they used to come into the administration building and actually physically pay the cashier. And my mindset is, okay, the times have moved on in terms of the technological landscape. How can we improve that experience using the available technology, of which SnapScan was then one? So when COVID then came, obviously the students then studied from home. They couldn't come into the university. So it was also important for the university's cash flow to still receive tuition fees, accommodation fees, etc., as well as all the other services I've mentioned. So when they did that, then obviously the SnapScan platform was then available. So from wherever in the world actually the student was, they could use that platform to pay whatever services or to pay their tuition. And what was also great was is we used an API to integrate into the university systems, so you couldn't proceed with a transaction unless you entered a valid student number. So immediately whatever payment you did was fully integrated real time onto your student account, and thus eradicating, again, from a chartered accountant finance point of view, any unallocated deposits, etc. So so that's the kind of stuff that inspires me. Obviously, with where we are now with AI, etc., also I see great opportunities where that can be used within higher education, and that's the type of things, the blended finance / technology, that keeps me motivated and in higher education, because you see the joy on the students' face when something is greatly improved, and for them that's on their phones, the technology that they're used to now being within higher education.
That's very interesting. Werner, you've lived both in the Western Cape and now in Johannesburg or in Gauteng. Yeah. Which of the two provinces is your favorite?
So actually, when I came here, I left office about, say, 20 to 4, which is about 50 minutes, because that's always the time I budget in Cape Town to get somewhere, especially during after 3 o'clock during peak hour traffic. So it takes you an hour wherever you need to be in Cape Town. So I've been in Johannesburg now for 2 weeks, mm-hmm. and I've really enjoyed the close proximity of things. So I stay in Rosebank, which what I told you when I arrived. So and my office is in Illovo, so it's about a 5 minute mm-hmm. 5 minute commute. And also when I came here to Houghton from Illovo, generally was 10-15 minutes. So again, that aspect of Johannesburg I've really enjoyed in terms of my lifestyle quality. Cape Town has become very populated, a lot of semigration taking place, people coming down to Cape Town. But when I came for the interview at ISFAP and stayed in Rosebank, I saw that, you know what, Johannesburg, there's an opportunity here. I saw improvement. I saw especially the Rosebank area where it was clean, it was neat, it was walkable. So in that sense, in terms of my personal lifestyle, at this stage of my life, I preferred somewhere where I could walk to a Virgin Active or to a Woolies or to a Kauai, you know, that, you know, stay active and get your 10,000 steps in, 10,000 steps a day in. So in that aspect, I'm really enjoying Johannesburg. So personally, where I am at this moment for me and an executive and working and buying kind of myself more time, I'm preferring Johannesburg, but Cape Town will always be my home.
Cape Town will always be home. Yeah. I think the Cape Town conversation, we need to have a separate conversation with the commuters in Cape Town.
Definitely.
The people drive very slowly in Cape Town, but I suppose they do everything very slowly. It's not as rushed as the Johannesburg hustle and bustle. Werner, red wine, white wine?
Red wine. Definitely. Okay. Pinot Noir or Syrah.
Okay. Yeah. Any favorite vineyard in Cape Town?
Favorite wine farm in Cape Town or vineyard? Probably where, like I said, where I got married. So the Grendel Wine Estate, beautiful view, beautiful wines, as well as always have a special place in my heart because, yeah. That's
the right answer.
Yeah.
And if you could travel to any destination, anywhere in the world, where would it be?
So for the past, since I got married in 2019, we went on honeymoon to Bali in Indonesia in 2019. And then we said we fell in love with the place and we always wanted to go back. Mm. So ever since then, in COVID, we got an opportunity when it was work from home to kind of go work from there.
Oh, lovely.
Yes. So it was the most memorable, fantastic experience of my life because we said, why must we sit in Cape Town winter when we can go work from Bali? And ever since then, we've traveled there every year. Yeah, went there for my 40th birthday 2 years ago. Parents went with, friends went with. So whenever I need a break from the executive hustle and bustle and lifestyle, Bali is my go-to place.
That's lovely. Yeah. Werner, what are you looking forward to most about the next chapter in your work? I mean, you've taken over the reins at ISFAP. There's a lot of work I imagine you want to get done, a lot of things you want to achieve, celebration of your wedding or your marriage. What are you looking forward to most about this next chapter in your life?
Okay, so I think it's using all the experience and the network that I've probably gained while in higher education to really put ISFAP on the map in terms of that 350,000 to 600,000 household income bracket. We need to become the household name when it comes to providing financial aid for those income band of students. So what I really want to see is working together with government, all the relevant stakeholders, where each funder kind of is specific to their particular income brand in terms of household income, working together with the nurse first, anything up to 350,000, we know it's them. After that, people must know it's ISFAP. We're adding value into that space so that, you know, the national higher education budget is utilized in an optimal, efficient manner, and not just a lot of people like kind of running towards kind of the same students. I think all students that requires funding or that's in need of funding needs to be funded, and then the available role players should form an integral part and play together to provide funding as optimally as possible.
A passion for travel, a passion for education, and a passion for making a difference. I think we'll leave it at that, Varna. Thanks so much for the time and for the insights and for joining me in studio. That's Varna Abrams, who is the CEO of ISFAP, that is Ikusasa Student Financial Aid Program, joining me in studio for this week's Executive Lounge.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.